Shalom Chaverim. That's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom. That is Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings. I'm so happy that you're listening to the program today. Yesterday, I had a Skype interview with Charles Gardner. He's been on the program before, and he just recently had his first trip to Israel. He's going to give us an update on some of the things that he's involved with and what he experienced. You're going to love it, and I've got some great music for you as well. Stay with me, and I'll be right back. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai. Od Avinu, Od Avinu, Od Avinu Chai. That was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel from the Sattel Gallery. And I want to let you know that Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles that believe that Yeshua, or Jesus, is the Messiah. You can just look at some of the Old Testament prophecies and you'll find out for yourself. There's nothing more Jewish than believing in a Jewish Messiah. If you'd like to visit us sometime, we meet on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. We're at 1326 North Winton Road. And while there, you're going to want to visit the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, where you can get CDs and prayer shawls and shofars, cards and jewelry. And of course, if you're listening to this program and you live in the Buffalo area, please visit Congregation Brith Hadashah. They meet on Saturday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst. Well, right now, I am happy to introduce to you a brand new song. Avner and Rachel Bosky have a new CD out called Four Winds, and this one just really caught my attention. It's called Sar Shalom.
Thank you.
Bagels and Blessings is also sponsored by Pharaoh's Harem Salon and Spa. Visit the location in Henrietta. The number there is 359-2249 or the location in Fairport at 223-5850. Come into Pharaoh's Harem and you can get a facial, a manicure, pedicure, a massage, or a new hairdo. Well, you can definitely see why I'm really loving that song. Again, this is from a brand new CD. I just got it in my hands a few days ago. Its CD is called Four Winds. That was Avner and Rachel Bosky. Sar Shalom is Hebrew for Prince of Peace. And that, of course, is Yeshua. He is our Sar Shalom. He is our Prince of Peace. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And in just a little while, you're going to hear an interview I did just yesterday via Skype with Charles Gardner. He's an author and a speaker. And you're going to be very encouraged about Jews and Gentiles coming together as one. Right now, we've got Marty Goetz. You'll recognize this song if you go to a Jewish wedding. This is called Hava Nagila. Let us rejoice.
Nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ben ishaha. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ben ishaha. Hava, neranana, hava, neranana, hava, neranana, ben ishaha. Hava, neranana, hava, neranana, hava, neranana, ben ishaha. Urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim, urachim b'lev sameach. Ranana, ben ishaha. Haban ranana, haban ranana, haban ranana, ben ishaha. Uru, uru, achim, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, urachim, b'lev sameach.
Bagels and Blessings is also sponsored by Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. Call them today at 889-7840. If you need them to come out and check your furnace, make sure that your house is warm and cozy. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 889-7840.
Ha, ha.
na Havana rana na ben smacha Havana rana na Havana rana na Havana rana na ben smacha
Hey, again, that was Marty Goetz, and that was from a CD called Songs of Israel. You know, there's a special dance that we do. When I say we, I mean Jews and Messianic Jews and anybody else that likes Jewish folk dancing. When you hear the song Hava Nagila, there's a dance called the Hora, and you stand in a circle and you kind of hop and kick and move to the left. And maybe you would like to learn more about how to do some of these Israeli folk dances. Well, did you know that there is actually a dance class at Congregation Shema Yisrael? That's right. It's on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. at Shema at 1326 North Winton Road. Every Thursday at 6:30, we have a wonderful dance instructor named Shea Greathouse, and she will teach you how to do some of these Israeli folk dances. So if you would like to learn how to dance the Hora and other wonderful exciting Jewish folk dances, just like, you know, the early believers, you know, they said that David danced before the Lord, and there are so many fun dances. When I'm not leading worship, I love to dance. So that's Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. at Shema Yisrael, 1326 North Winton Road on the second floor. You could learn how to do some of these really fun dances. Well, right now, let's listen to Philip Stanley Klein, because he's going to tell us how you can be free in the fire.
Nebuchadnezzar sentenced three of our brothers to be burned to a cinder, but he fought that the power of the Lord our Creator, the one who made us his own. Our Savior, and he gave them his covering, and woe from their heads down to their toes. They were as cool as fallen snow. See, if you trust in the Lord, obey your Creator, when the heat starts to rise, he'll move you out of danger, and you'll be free in the fire, washed in the blood, touched by Messiah. This heart.
I'll admit I'm not perfect, no way. And I still walk the wrong way. And I've been burned so many times. I can't sit down because it's smart. Lord, it's smart. But if you trust in the Lord, obey your Creator, when the heat starts to rise, He'll move you out of danger. But you'll be free in the fire, washed in His blood, touched by Messiah, caught up in His love. Dirty trick he's ever learned.
Yeah, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Again, that was Phil Klein. Next, we're going to hear from Odell Chiropractic.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh, oh, oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit any of the four Odell Family Chiropractic locations today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. And right now, let's say hello to Ted Pierce. Let's open the gates.
Lord, open to me, open to me, open to me, the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them. I will praise the Lord. I will go through them. I will praise the Lord. Open to me, open to me, open to me, the gates of righteousness. Oh, open to me, open to me.
righteousness, Lord, open to me, open to me, open to me, the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them. I will praise the Lord. I will go through them. I will praise the Lord. Open to me, open to me, open to me, the gates of righteousness.
AM 990.
That's Joel Chernoff, and that's my theme of today's show. We're going to hear from Charles Gardner about Jews and Gentiles, Arabs and Jews, all one in Messiah, loving each other, loving the Lord. Right now, let's hear from Joel Chernoff about how you can be a blessing to Israel.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Today, there are hundreds of archaeological sites in Israel that reveal the ancient link between the Jewish people, the Bible, and the land of Israel. For instance, archaeologists recently uncovered Jacob's Well, the very place where Yeshua, Jesus, spoke to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Physical evidence for the credibility of our faith is another amazing blessing that resides even in the soil of Israel. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to ROIMinute.com. That's ROIMinute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shammah Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammah Yisrael. That's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammah Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme bagels tonight.
Okay, here's what you've been waiting for. I know there are thousands of you sitting there waiting to call 222-2990. All you got to do is answer this question. What had Jacob been doing all night just before God changed his name to Israel? He was doing it all night long just before God changed his name to Israel. What was he doing? 222-2990, and you'll win a coupon for bagels. Call now.
All that matzah is getting to me. Wow. No bread or leaven, they're sure in heaven. Wow. A little bagel's what I'm waiting for.
Bagel.
Give me lots of my garlic bagel. Spread thickly too. It'll be the greatest. So give me bagels tonight. Work it out, baby, work it out. All that
222-2990. Call now to win a coupon for bagels. What was Jacob doing all night just before God changed his name to Israel? What was he doing all night? 222-2990. Call now. Hurry, hurry.
The Torah tells me, and it compels me, and I obey Hashem in him I fear. Give me lots of my garlic bagel. Spread thickly too. It'll be the greatest. So give me bagels tonight. Give me lots of my garlic bagel. Spread thickly too. Oh, bagel. I gotta have one now.
Give me bagels tonight. Bagel.
Give me half a dozen bagels now, please.
Okay, man, we have a special on leavened bagels.
Leavened bagels? What's a leavened bagels?
Give all my leaven, I will sell bagels.
Oh, forget about all your leaven. Give me that chopped herring over there. How much is half a bounce?
All right, man, we're going to get on 1 pound of chopped herring.
All right, this says Ethel Chadwick. You know what really makes me happy? When people call the station and they know the answer. So I'd like to bring our winner on the air right now. Shalom, this is Ethel Chadwick.
Yes, this is...
Oh, you need to turn your radio down, sweetie. Please turn your radio down because we're getting terrible feedback, okay? Great. All right, who do we have?
Isma Jackson.
Hi, Isma. How are you doing?
Fine.
Great. What's the answer?
Wrestling.
Wrestling with God, yes.
Yes, he was.
All right, mazel tov. All right, well, listen, you get the bagels, honey. You get the bagels.
Yes, you can give it to somebody.
Really? Oh, bless your heart. Well, I guess all my friends are going to be calling me now, asking me for the bagels. So, all righty then. Well, thank you so very much for calling, and stay tuned for a very exciting interview with Charles Gardner.
Okay.
God bless you, Isma. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, this is Ethel Chadwick, and now here is a very fun interview with Charles Gardner.
Welcome, Charles Gardner, back to Bagels and Blessings. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you very much. Yeah. A bit cold, but I imagine you're colder over there.
Yeah, we're a little cold. It's great to have you back. I believe some things have changed in your life. You took a trip, and you experienced some new things. Do you want to share with us what happened and where you went?
Yeah, sure. Since I last spoke to you, I volunteered for two jobs for the church's ministry to the Jewish people at their conference in the summer last year, which I think I told you about before, but I didn't say that I'd volunteered for those jobs. They took me on in the end. One of them involves editing a magazine for them. It's really for prayer for their supporters, really, as much as anything. And the other is involving in a conference that's taking place in Jerusalem this May. It involves Arab and Jewish believers coming together for deepening bonds of reconciliation between them, and working together and planning further how they can support one another. These are Arabs from the Middle East countries. Many of them, have had miraculous sort of conversions to Jesus, to understanding who Jesus is and recognizing him as the Messiah. So yeah, it's quite an exciting project, and I'm looking forward to being more involved in it. So I went over to Israel in November for a couple of weeks to really familiarize myself with the staff over there and all their centers the situation and of course seeing the sites for the first time there. I've never been to Israel before, so that was just an amazing experience.
Wow. I remember I went over to Israel in 2008, and I was just fascinated.
Yeah.
And now, you mentioned a few minutes ago, you mentioned Arab believers in Jesus. And I don't know if everyone listening to Bagels and Blessings even realizes that there are many, many Arabs that do believe in Jesus or Yeshua.
Yeah.
And have you ever been able to lead any of them to the Lord, or have you had experience speaking with a lot of them? And I mean, they must love the Jewish people that love Israel, of course, too.
That's right. Yeah. I haven't had experience of leading them directly. I have met some of them and will meet some more in quite near future. My hope is that, I'd have the opportunity of, writing about, their testimonies, and that we have some real breakthrough in the national media of this country and other countries, including your own, of what really is happening in the Middle East. That Arabs are finding Jesus as their Messiah as well, and loving the Jews and loving the Jews at the same time. Because when Arabs are converted, as I understand, you don't need to teach them, that the Jews are the chosen people. They see it immediately. They understand it from the scriptures that they read and from the Holy Spirit that's led them to Jesus in the first place. One of these people, I haven't met him yet, but he appeared at the first conference, which was last year. We're having another one this year, which is really expanding on that and sort of deepening the process of reconciliation. That's the aim. One of them last year, apparently he first met Jesus while he was on pilgrimage to Mecca, which is one of the things you're supposed to do as a good Muslim. And Jesus tapped him on the shoulder apparently and said, "You shouldn't be here. You should be worshiping me." I can't remember the exact words, but he is now pastor in Turkey, and he's been involved in this conference, and hopefully will come back again this time, and I'll speak to him further. But obviously, we've got to be a bit careful about publicizing their names. But obviously, we want to publicize their testimonies, because these guys need protection. They put their lives on the line. Even just going to a conference in Jerusalem, which we're hoping that they will, and it is a dangerous thing for them, because anybody hears that they're going to Israel, feels that they're betraying the Islamic faith and so on.
So he had a supernatural experience on his way to Mecca.
That's right. Actually, he was there, I believe, doing the Hajj in Mecca itself,
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And tell me about... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, no. Carry on.
I was just going to say, tell me about some of the other things you experienced while you were in Israel.
Oh, well, just a host of God appointments, I suppose you could say. I didn't quite know what to expect. I've read the Bible for over 40 years, and my picture was obviously quite sort of lopsided and of exactly what Israel looked like. And And I read often about how you went up to the mountains of Israel and the pilgrims went up to Israel, and I couldn't quite understand that. But I did when the taxi drove us up from Tel Aviv airport up to Jerusalem. It's quite a climb, and it's certainly that Jerusalem is on a whole host of hills that you could call mountains, and it's quite a fortress in that respect, but it's just such a special place. I just felt such an amazing experience of God's, of Jerusalem being a special place to the Lord, which it obviously is, but you need to go there to experience that. And I just felt like, you know, it was, yeah, generally just like the stones were crying out, saying, you know, praise the Lord. And
it was
stunning. And I thought of that Psalm 48, which talks about, you know, what does Psalm 48 talk about? The it's the city of the great king, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. And that's the joy that just came up in me as I witnessed the beauty of it all, and the ancient walls of the old city. And of course, I was staying within the walls of the old city, Jaffa Gate, in Christchurch, which is the headquarters of the CMJ, Church's Ministry to the Jewish People, has been for about 200 years. And it was just such a privilege to be there and to be among so many Jewish people who finally back in their land and enjoying the benefits of it. And you know, I found that even though I saw lots of army personnel, most of them seemed to be teenagers, girls, seemed to be more girls than boys, actually, lurking about, you know, in their uniforms and with some sort of very menacing weapons, but looking quite sort of gentle. One just felt an amazing peace in Jerusalem, you know, that there was a peace there, despite the potential for hostility and for, you know, it is a volatile situation politically. I realize that. But there was such a peace as well. And potentially, of course, it has enormous peace about it. But it seems that the whole world wants a bit of a piece of a different kind of peace of Jerusalem. And therein lies the problem, that there's a battle over it. There's a battle over it in the spiritual realm. And so that manifests itself. And that's what you've got to deal with. But it's a great place.
Sure. Has God put in your heart a special desire to bring about peace between, say, yes, the Arabs and the Jews,
yes,
and the Muslims?
Yeah, I think specifically that is what I felt even before I heard at the conference last summer, you know, that they were looking for a volunteer to help coordinate this conference next year. Yeah, they were planning to expand it and do more. And the talk, and I had already seen a DVD or part of a DVD at a church meeting quite near here where I live, from CMJ, all about the first conference they held last year. And I was just very, very moved by that. And I just thought, oh, that's something I'd really love to be involved in, that, you know, sort of witnessing the reconciliation between Jews and Arabs. You know, I mean, you know, I have a heart for reconciliation anyway, you know, over the years involving Ireland and before that South Africa, between black and white and between English and Afrikaner. And I just felt, you know, that's something I'd really love to see and be part of, and especially to write about and to inform the world that because of Jesus, you know, we have a real peace process in the Middle East that is seeing results, and it's really the only hope for the Middle East. And I wanted to be involved in that, but I sort of thought, well, you know, I just forgot about it. And then at the conference, they made this appeal for somebody to volunteer to be a sort of coordinator, organizer, and though initially I didn't feel that sort of fitted the bill for me, as a writer, I just volunteered for it, and later on they did take me on. And but by that time they had realized that it is something that they wanted to raise the profile for much more, because obviously up to now much of your evangelism in Israel has got to be a little bit sensitive, bearing in mind the Orthodox Jewish opposition to missionaries and that sort of thing. And so, but we just feel that this is a time to be a little bit more upfront about things, and we'd like the secular media to know that there is an answer to the problems of the Middle East, and it is Jesus, Yeshua.
Amen. So you're thinking there's going to be another conference, and when would that be?
It's in May the 13th to the 16th. And part of my remit is mainly it's about communication and writing about what's going on, and obviously I want to pick up many of the testimonies if I can. Maybe some of them will need translating. I can't speak Arabic or Turkish or any of these languages, but I'm hoping to get lots of fantastic testimonies and report on them. But part of my remit is also to help raise funds for it. And the fundraising is really just mainly to help get some of the Arab pastors from, you in many cases, have poorer congregations over to Jerusalem. So from that perspective, I'm hoping to raise some funds. Not just me, but other people, obviously, as well. Yeah.
Well, Charles, if people want to get involved and come on board beside you, how would they find out more information?
Well, they can contact me direct. I've got lots of information to hand. And the conference, it's called At the Crossroads, by the way. And it's organized by CMJ, as I said, the Church's Ministry to the Jewish People, and which I think they have a website, but in any event, you can contact me. And if anybody wants to give towards it, all they need to do is write a check to Christ Church, which is the center they have in Jerusalem, to Christ Church, and I can give you the address as well if you want that.
Sure.
Yeah. It's Christ Church at Jaffa Gate, Jerusalem. Well, Jaffa Gate, Old City, Jerusalem. And the postcode is Israel 91140. So, quite simple.
And all right, Christ Church, Israel Gate, Old City, Jerusalem, Israel 901140.
Right, Christ Church, Jaffa Gate. As in, you know, Jaffa near Tel Aviv. Old City, Jerusalem, Israel, 911140.
91140. Got it.
That's it. And, that would be absolutely great. I mean, my wife, who's very clever at these things, worked out that they're hoping to raise £30,000. In dollars, that's about $45,000, actually, for the whole conference, and that's mainly to help these people. Oops, what's happening here? Oh, I can see you now.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. And that actually works out at around £250 per delegate. So it's the idea is to. It's easy for people, individuals or churches, small churches, to get their head around something like a figure. You know, if they can sponsor a delegate for £250, which is actually about $375. So there you go. That's
excellent. Well, I was reading about your trip. If we can go back to your trip to Israel for a minute, because
yeah.
I wanted you to share with our listeners what it felt like to go into the Garden Tomb.
Oh, right. You know I went in there, yeah. I went, that was a very special experience. We have friends who actually used to volunteer for that. Sadly, they've since passed away. But And I was wondering what it was all about. And I'm very proud of the fact that it's run by a British, run by Britain. It's a British association that actually looks after it and runs it and provides the volunteers, which actually guide people around and explain to them what, you know, the death and resurrection of Jesus is all about. Many, of course, of the tourists come as believers already. And it was lovely that when we went there, you just heard these congregations who were obviously on tour together, one particular one from Jamaica, and they were just singing, and it was this amazing experience of just listening to them worshiping the Lord with such power and gentleness too at the same time. And it's sort of just wafted over the whole place. And it's a beautifully kept garden as well. And, you know, you just felt the whole thing was so real. And these guys, really, it's probably the best, and I think somebody else confirmed this to me, that it's the best evangelistic outreach that there is of any of the holy sites in Israel. These guys really give the gospel. You know, if there's anybody there who hasn't met Jesus yet, you know, they make it quite clear. Yeah, they said, they say, you know, if you go into to have a look at the garden tomb inside, you know, make sure you bring Jesus out again. You know, he's not there anymore. You know, and it was very, very good and powerful. And of course, it's disputed. It's not necessarily that Jesus was crucified and resurrected there, but I was quite convinced about it. It could have been the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is not far away anyway. It's just a few blocks away, a bit closer to within the walls of the old city, in fact. And but actually, Jesus was crucified outside the city. Though I don't quite know, maybe the Holy Sepulchre Church was outside the city in those days. Who knows? But I was very convinced when I saw the place of the skull, as it was, as it's described in the Bible, Golgotha, on the side of the hill. It still very much looks like a skull, and was apparently first sort of noticed by the famous General Gordon, British general, in the late 19th century. He was a devout Christian, and he noticed that. And I was very convinced about that. But now it's a bit marred by the fact that there's an Arab bus station, a very busy bus station just below it, and it all seems a little bit irreverent. But nevertheless, you know,
yes,
it brings it home to the fact that Jesus was actually crucified on a roadside. You know, it wasn't a pretty, pretty thing on the top of a hill, as we sometimes led to believe. And
I like the sign inside. He is not here. He is risen.
Yes.
There's a sign.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. So,
Charles, did you get a chance to visit the Western Wall and
yes,
perhaps you put a prayer on a piece of paper and slip it into a crack?
I didn't do that. No, I did visit the Western Wall, and I did stand on the wall and prayed. I can't remember what I was just so bewildered and overawed by the whole experience. I did put my kipper on. You had to do that, it was a quiet afternoon. It wasn't the Sabbath or anything, and it was a wonderful experience. Yes, and yeah.
You're a wonderful example of Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah.
Yeah.
As we talk together and your love for your Jewish Messiah and your love for Israel and the Jewish people, it's so dear to my heart.
Mm.
It's so wonderful. And so I'm wondering now, are you writing more books?
Well, I mean, I think that one thing should be probably an update on what I've already written, because I found out an awful lot more that I think needs to be told to the world.
All right.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Including the story that you picked up on originally, about the church needing to repent of the sin of anti-Semitism, which, you know, wasn't part of my book because I'd already published it, but, you know, lots of things like that. And of course, having experienced, the land myself, and, so much, you know, has added to it. But yeah, maybe that and whatever. One experience I had at the Western Wall, which was a bit disconcerting, but it was all right in the end. I understand where they're coming from. The weather was fantastic all the time I was there. 2 weeks of, you know, you could have been one of these tropical islands, sort of, you know, it was between 20 and 25 degrees all the time. It was lovely weather. Unseasonable for the time of the year, really. Soon after I got home, they had a terrific snowstorm. So, yeah, I was very fortunate. But so it was always very sunny. So when I was just approaching the Western Wall with my friends, who were guides, friends from here in Doncaster, who actually sponsor me and have paid for my flights and all that kind of thing because they believe in what I'm doing. And they've been to Israel many times, and this Orthodox-looking Jewish man came past me at quite a rate, and he was shielding his eyes, and I thought maybe he was just shielding his eyes from the sun, but I think my friends explained to me afterwards he was shielding his eyes from the, what do you call it, Goyim, from the Gentile.
Oh, oh my goodness!
He didn't want to look on me. Especially not in that place. So I thought, oh my word! I have got a bit of Jewish blood in me. I thought I'd like to have said to him, but never mind. It was all right.
Oh my goodness! That's what I forgot. You know, when I'm talking about this whole Jew and Gentile thing, I thought, wait a minute. I think he said he did have some Jew in him somewhere.
Yeah. My great grandfather, yes.
Wow.
Sephardic Jew, and actually one of the lovely ladies I met while I was over there was a Spanish Sephardic Jew, and she was an estate agent in Jerusalem, and she was trying to convince me to come over and make my aliyah to Israel. She said I qualified for it on that basis, and that they were making special provision in the Negev for Sephardic Jews. So get myself there, she said. And I said, well, I'm going to have to consult with my wife. I don't think she'll be that keen at the moment.
You never know. She could surprise you. She's probably listening right now thinking, oh, no.
She is. Yeah, well, yeah. She's got lots of, she's still very involved in her teaching here. And yeah, that's where our work is at the moment. But yeah, it's lovely to be, you know, involved so much in the work in Israel as well.
Sure. Well, Charles, I love how you are keeping touch with me, and I would expect at the Crossroads conference, after that happens in May, I expect to hear from you again, and we can do another update. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds absolutely great. Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, one of the things I'd really like prayer about is that we do get a breakthrough in the media about what's going on. You know, this is so important, I believe, spiritually, politically, and in so many ways. So many of our churches, but as well as our politicians, are so ignorant about what's going on, so ignorant of the spiritual dimensions of all that's going on in the Middle East. And, you know, I just love stories to come through about the fact that Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and I'm excited to be talking with you, and I want to thank you again for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings, and I can't wait to hear what's next.
Okay. Well, it's lovely to talk to you again. Bless you.
Well, great. Well, God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ethel. Bye.
Thank you.
And now, here's Phil Klein with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai Paramalecha V'yasem lecha Shalom.
now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. And remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to the program today. I'll be back next Saturday right here on 990 AM. Shalom.